Hey, let's just warm up here with a couple of scriptures. We've got to have to get going because it's already after the hour. Let's start with something here from a third Hermas. Third Hermas, Miller 2, 9, 122. For it will avail you nothing to take up the name of the Son of God unless you shall also receive their garment from them. For these virgins are the powers of the Son of God. So shall a man in vain bear his name, unless he shall be also endued with his powers. Okay, these are the gifts which the Lord provides for us. In his government, truth, spirit, prayer, preaching, prophecy. Okay, the gifts and the callings and the graces of God. Okay, let's read one verse here from Isaiah. Okay, and this is on Isaiah 24. This is relevant to what's going on today in the world. He says here, behold, the Lord makes the earth empty and makes it waste and turns it upside down. And of course, we know the Lord turned it upside down once before. Okay, and the Lord's going to turn it upside down again. Okay, and scatters abroad the inhabitants thereof. And this shall be as with the people, so with the priest. The land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled, for the Lord has spoken this word. The earth mourns and fades away, which is what people hear. Okay, it's concerning the phenomenon, okay, in the sky, the sounds in the sky. Okay, the earth mourns. Right now, they're hearing the mourning in the sky, okay, and fades away. But then we'll be hearing the singing and the music in the sky, and that's when Christ comes back. The earth mourns and fades away. The world languishes and fades away. The haughty people of the earth do languish. Interesting, he used the word haunting here, okay, as the Spirit revealing to Isaiah, because these people are standing in within their own boast. The earth is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, and broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore has the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth burn, and few men left. And we'll see that at the end of the tribulation, and few men left. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones. This is the 13 princes, the principalities and powers of the air. All right, that's when Satan is cast out midweek, okay, to begin the second half of the 7-year tribulation. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones, that's the 13 princes, that are high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth. And that's when Satan is cast out of heaven, and of course the Antichrist man becomes that beast. Okay, let's have our Bibles open now to the book of Ephesians. We're going to pick up here in chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Okay, and here the Apostle Paul continues his thought, okay, from the previous chapter. He says, nevertheless, that every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. Okay, and of course the Apostle Paul was joining, okay, the thought, okay, the male, the female, which is the symbolism of the holy city. Okay, the holy city stands, okay, as the prototype of this divine work. Okay, as God set a letter, okay, within within each creation, and the letter itself bore a symbol, okay, which represented it. The letter represented, okay, the vessel which it inhabited, whether it be a tree or a cloud, here the sun, the moon, okay, people or animals. Whatever it is, okay, God put a letter within them, which is symbolic of this divine work, in this dimension of waters. Okay, and he says, I speak concerning the church. Now, this is the previous chapter. We're reading up here to chapter 6, verse 1. Then he goes on, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. Okay, and all he's bringing to the attention here, okay, is concerning the bonding and the building. Okay, why God put a symbolism of two into one. He put a symbolism of two, okay, into one, okay, because Eve was removed from Adam's rib, okay, and then she was returned to him, but the work was completed, okay, from the seed to the tree. Of course, here she was returned to him, okay, in full blossom of the tree, for the purpose of him sharing within her, okay, this divine work. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife. Okay, bonding with the power, okay, that is concerning her priesthood for his pleasure and for his equity. And the wife, she see that she reverence her husband or uses her powers for the purpose of service and respects of the oath of the stewardship. Okay, so we see that you also, in this, the priesthood and the stewardship being joined together, okay, as Moses and Aaron. Okay, Moses was prepared, okay, by the angel, okay, which was in the burning bush. Okay, Aaron came in confirmation of that and became his priest. Okay, and God put the voice, okay, of Moses within the priesthood. Okay, God put his voice in the stewardship, and the stewardship put his voice in the priesthood. Okay, which we can see when Aaron went in, okay, before Pharaoh with Moses. We see the stewardship of the priesthood being joined together, okay, prevails, okay, over the darkness of this world, over the kings of the earth. It prevails over these things, and we can see that the King of Kings is going to prevail over the kings of this earth. When Jesus returns, okay, in the glory of his power, with all the heavenly host and the righteous attending with him, okay, as stars in his crown. So nevertheless, that every one of you in particular, as was assigned by God, so bond and build to love his wife, even as himself. Okay, and the wife, okay, in respect and reciprocation, reverence her husband. Okay, for then there's peace and harmony. If you see these things, then you see Christ in these things. So these things teach us this mystery of attraction, the courting, the marriage, the mating, the building, okay, and understanding unfolding to us more knowledge. Okay, as your prayers are perpetual. Okay, your prayers are perpetual. Okay, the intercession, okay, of the righteous prevail, okay, over the iniquity and sin of this world, as we see in a new heavens and a new earth. Okay, this is a perpetual course, okay, which God established for us, okay, as eternal beings and those things which are yet to come. Now he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Okay, and this is chapter 6, okay, which means the offspring of righteousness will live by the anointing. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. See the word Lord there. So you can hide the word Lord and put the word anointing over that. Obey your parents in the Lord, which means show respect and regarding the restrictions in your authority, because this is your refuge. The restrictions in your authority is your refuge. So the offspring of the right of righteousness will live by the anointing. So children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Okay, it was designed by God and bears God's face in the symbolism. It bears God's face in the symbolism. Honor your father and your mother. He says reciprocate to his figure of authority. Okay, father and mother, you know, those two are joined together, which is the first commandment with promise. Okay, it was written in the law for this mystery to be expounded upon. Okay, that is for your charity as loving God. So honor your father and your mother, okay, which is the first commandment with promise. See the word commandment there. Because it was written in the law for this purpose, that is for this mystery to be expounded upon for your charity. Okay, and this is our charity that we love our father. And then he goes on in verse 3. Then we're going to go from here from verse 3, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 3, to the Gospel of John chapter 8. You're going to see how the Spirit of the Lord begins to unfold more mysteries here. And then he says that it may be well with you. Highlight the word well there. Make sure you have your highlighter. And underline the word well. For in these, there's healing, refuge, and peace. That it may be well with you. For in these things is healing, refuge, and peace. That it may be well with you, and that you may live long in the earth. What he's saying, that you may escape the early judgments of death. Not as Cain who oppressed Adam, nor as Esau who also caused grief for Rebekah. Okay, he was cut short, okay, even as Cain. So that may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. So we see that God put his sign, and assigned the symbolisms, okay, within the person, within the event, okay, and with also with the environment, climate, place, okay, tokens. Okay, God put the symbolisms within these things for our learning, okay, and for the benefit of our faith today, as we read about in Hebrews chapter 11. Okay, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So God continually provides tokens to sustain our faith. So these tokens, you can say, are tickets of travel to get to our destination. So the tokens act as tickets for your travel. Now you'd like to buy a ticket for a plane, you get on the plane. It takes you to your destination. So every token which you receive from the Lord provides this substance, okay, for the reality of the hope, okay, for this reality hope. We can see throughout See, the scriptures, okay, that our Father provided tokens, even as he provided tokens for Jesus. He provided tokens for Jesus when he said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." That's a token. As the fire of the anointing descended like a dove upon his head, okay, that was another token. Then the Spirit led him into the wilderness for this challenge, okay, for our overcoming. He's the record for our overcoming. All right, so we can see every token which our Father provided for us, and Jesus set the example for us. Okay, but Jesus set the example, okay, in regarding the record of this covenant, just like, okay, those of the thousands of years ago, whether it be Enoch or Noah or Abraham, you can see that our Father gave tokens to them. Okay, the token that he gave to Enoch, okay, was a description and record of things thousands of years in the future, the things which are unfolding in his time, and things that should be unfolding thousands of years in the future and beyond in eternity. Okay, and the tokens which he gave to Noah, okay, it's a description of his refuge. Okay, and the revelations which follow that. Okay, every token sustains. This is what you mold your faith with. So your faith is reflective, okay, in reciprocation to this grace. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He found a token. God provided a token for him. And Noah was upright and righteous, okay, in his generation. This is what was required of that time. That's the only thing that was required of that time. Okay, with the revelation which we received, just like it is today. Okay, the only thing that's required of you, okay, is laboring, okay, with the stewardship, okay, functioning within your priesthood. You're building the house of God by the Spirit. Okay, that's all is required of you. So that you don't have to go travel here or travel there to hear a word of the Lord. For this is being inscribed within you by the finger of the Spirit. Okay, through the tokens which he provided for you through government, truth, and spirit, prayer, preaching, and prophecy, the gifts, the callings, and the graces of God. Okay, all these tokens sustain you. Okay, it's going to bring you to, the fullness of this destination, which is returning to the Father's bosom. Okay, and we'll be seeing more about that, okay, when we jump over here to the Gospel of John, chapter 8. So that it may be well with you. Okay, for all these tokens which he provided for us is the bonding in this and building in this dimension, okay, is also continually extends in this unity. Okay, the unity of the Spirit, the unity of faith. Okay, so that you can grow in the fullness of the stature of Christ. Okay, all these tokens are provided so that you can grow into the fullness of the stature of Christ. So we see this in chapter 4 of Ephesians. Okay, chapter 4, verse 11. Till we all come to faith, unto unity of faith, okay, which is the knowledge which you're building with. Okay, the purpose of these tokens, okay, is for the purpose of this reciprocation and bonding. We all share that one bread. Okay, we all share that one cup. This is what the Bible calls communion of the Holy Ghost, which charity covers a multitude of sins. Say we're covered in the righteousness of Christ. Okay, as we also read about in the book of Revelation. In Revelation here, which is the righteousness of the saints. Say, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen. Now we're talking about the holy city. To her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, okay, clean and white. Okay, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. See, so we're a direct reflection of the prototype of eternity. She is the vessel of eternity. She's the womb, okay, of our Father. Okay, and in the womb of our Father, we call the baptism of light. We shall walk in the light, okay, of this holy city, which is the womb. And in this, okay, we continue to increase and abound the Father's house. Okay, so now we're going to go to Gospel of John. So you could put your marker here in Ephesians 6. Okay, and we're going to go to the Gospel of John chapter 8. Okay, we'll be spending most of the time here. And we'll move along for the purpose of covering, okay, a lot of things here. Okay, we're going to start in verse 33. Okay, so have your Bibles open in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 8, and we're starting at verse 33. So we're jumping in here, and concerning the conversation that's taking place and unfolding between Jesus and the Pharisees. Okay, and this had to do with the treasury of Solomon's porch. So they answered him. They replied in the boasting of their own history. We can see this in the denominational churches today. They boast of their history. The roots of their confidence, has to do with the author or their origin, whether it be Luther or Wesley, John Wesley, or it be any of those former people, which they call the patriarchs. They call them their patriarchs. But neither understood the terms of the covenant. They understood the language of the Bible, but they couldn't unfold its mysteries that it contained. They can read a word, but not understand the connection of it, the tethering of it. So they can read something of the Bible, but what they read in the Bible is untethered from the throne. Being untethered through the throne, it doesn't produce life. And you can see that they weren't experiencing the life of the Spirit, nor the anointing, because they always reverted back to the law. They're reverting back to law, regardless of defiled conscience. They're trying to, unfold the mysteries of the defiled conscience rather than unfolding the mysteries of Christ. The anointing unfolds to us the mysteries of Christ. But the logic of man tries to unfold, the challenges of his own conscience and uses the scriptures in order to identify, with something that's supernatural. They're just using the scriptures to identify with something that is supernatural. So they read something out of the Bible and they try to identify with it. And they count their effort of conformity to be spiritual. And looking at that, they try to mark their progress, by the denial of its presence. And that's not true regeneration at all. Just because you're denying the presence of it doesn't mean that it's non-existent. The challenges were put here by our Father's wisdom for the purpose of choice and reward. Why do you want to do away, with those things, which will benefit you spiritually? The contrast is necessary. And this is what God testified of. They are as gods now, knowing good and evil. Now they have the power as gods to make choices. So we choose the good over the evil. We choose the knowledge of the anointing, over that which is inscribed for the conscience of man. What Adamites use in order to find equity within themselves. Everybody should be there now. We're in John chapter 8. They answer Jesus there and says, "We be Abraham's seed." So they're identifying a certain point of origin, and the patriarch. The patriarch there, that they're identifying with. See, they're identifying with him, but yet by identifying with him, they're not expressing, that same spirit of faith. Just like the people today, the false religious system, they identify with the historical facts of the Bible. They read about apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. They read about these things. They identify with the history, but they can't identify with the tethering. If you don't identify with the tethering, then you're a hypocrite. But if I identify with the tethering, then you are true and faithful. We are true and faithful to the Lord because we're identifying with the tethering because we're living that tethering. We're living by faith, not by sight. Living by faith has to do with that we're living by the spiritual tokens. Living by sight, which means you're living by the visible tokens. The visible tokens of tithing. The visible tokens of circumcision. The visible tokens of communion, wine and bread. The visible tokens of observing the Sabbath day. The visible tokens of water baptism. That's walking by sight. And so walking by sight, they deny the divine work. That's why Paul calls them carnal-minded. The carnal-minded use natural things. The spiritual-minded uses the invisible and spiritual things. Spiritual things and the spiritual things. The natural man doesn't receive them because they don't understand them. They don't understand a place value. The understanding is broken because the tethering is broken. They don't understand it because the tethering is broken. The tethering is restored by the anointing because the anointing is that which God has set within us for this form of communication. God gave us tokens for communicating one to another. He gave us a language, for communicating one to another. Well, the anointing is the communication of God which he set within us to communicate with him, and we communicate with him by spirit and truth. For such are those which the Father seeks after, which means these are the ones he labors with. These are the ones he labors with. For such are those which the Father seeks to have. Jesus speaking, okay, that the Father delights in this form of fellowship because faith is a reflection and power of who he is. Okay, and by this, we will continue to multiply his divine work. Apart from it, okay, we shrivel as a raisin and we die according to that corruption. We be Abraham's seed, he says. Okay, and we're never in bondage to any man. How say you that you should be made free? Okay, this is something that's confusing to them. So they were boasting of their own history. So they said, we be Abraham's seed. It says, we are the flesh of Abraham's power. And by this power, we are free men. How can we be slaves to any sinner? Okay, that means any man. Okay, so they're saying, how dare you to imply that we need you as our steward and refuge? That's what they're saying to him. How dare you to say to us that we need you, okay, as a steward and refuge, and to be a refuge? Okay, so this is a challenge that still faces the church today. Many believers today are faced with the same thing. How dare you to say that we need you as a refuge? That's what the Pharisees did. Okay, the Pharisees says our roots are within the history. But Jesus says, but if your roots are within the history, that is the history of faith, then you would receive me. So then Jesus replied to them in verse 34. Jesus replied to the Pharisees, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever commits sin is a servant of sin. Wow. Whosoever commits sin is a servant of sin. Well, what's that sin? The sin is that they do not believe on me. And it, of course, Jesus brings that out here in John chapter 16. Of sin because they believe not on me. Okay, that stands for the believers today that are not in covenant. Okay, those that believe on Jesus, that is, they accept the stewardship. Okay, those that don't believe on Jesus, okay, they accept the history, okay, but not the tethering, which is in the stewardship. So Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you. So he's saying here, one example compared to another. Verily, verily, one example compared to another. Remember, he's comparing himself to Abraham. Okay, Abraham, the patriarch and origin. Okay, the origin of their faith. Abraham's seed, patriarch and origin of their faith. A true history, okay, of their flesh. But it is not the standing history of their faith. This is what Jesus is bringing to your attention. You embrace and kiss the Bible. And you honor the Torah. But yet, at the same time, the honoring of the Torah, you despise the anointing. Okay, it's the anointing that's the bridge for your flesh. Okay, the flesh cannot bridge to the eternal things but by the anointing. Okay, and this we see when Jesus rose physically from the dead, that the anointing was joining the flesh to the spirit. Okay? The anointing was joining the flesh to the spirit so that we, in our flesh, will behold him. Okay, that was a testimony of Job. Okay, that even though I'm in flesh, even though I die, but yet in my flesh, I'm going to see him. Okay, we are going to behold him. So verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever commits sin is a servant of sin. Okay, so all Jesus is saying right here, okay, so one example compared to another, okay, I'll explain this mystery to you. Whosoever follows, okay, his evil inclinations to resist my stewardship is a slave to sin. He's a slave to Satan's kingdom, Satan's perceptions, and then Satan gains also control, okay, by the reins of your ignorance. Satan gains control by the reins of your ignorance, so therefore you're a servant of sin. The servant abides not in the house forever, verse 35. Those of Satan's kingdom shall not stay in my house forever. For my house is your eternal refuge, for which I give my life for. Okay, as long as I am here, I will fulfill this for you, speaking to the Pharisees. So the servant abides not in the house forever, but the Son abides forever. Okay, verse 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Okay, does he say, my flesh, being as a sacrificial lamb, is given for your record, which will free you, okay, from the defiled conscience. And by this, as a fact, you shall find true life. The pure conscience is free from the jaws of the law's accusing words. I'll say that again. Okay, that the pure conscience is free from the jaws of the law's accusing words, the accusations of the law. The accusations of the law. This is what Jesus was facing at the time. The accusations of the law. The accusations of the law has to do with the accuser of the brethren. Satan is accused of the brethren. Why? Because Satan stands, okay, within the blindness and the darkness of his own record, as his children do. The children of the devil stand in the ignorance, the blindness of their own record. Okay, and in standing in that ignorance, they are the accusers of the brethren. If the Son therefore shall make you free, that is from the defiled conscience, you shall be free indeed. This fact is true to life. And Jesus was giving himself as that example for their deliverance. I am your steward. I am your refuge. Okay, and they would boo him, okay, and despise him for making that statement. Okay, even as David's brethren booed and despised him, King David, he still became king regardless of that conflict, as Joseph, being the youngest of the brethren at that time, he was despised of their brethren, the youngest. So the elder shall serve the younger, as we see, okay, there took place in Egypt, okay, where his brethren bowed the knee to Joseph, okay, as also the flesh bows a knee to the stewardship today. Okay, the anointing is superior of the flesh. Okay, so that which is born of the spirit is superior to that which is born of the flesh, because that which is born of the spirit is eternal, but that which is born of the flesh is temporal. Okay, and then Jesus makes a statement right here and agrees with them. Yeah, I know. I know you're Abraham's seed. He's not arguing that fact. He's bringing their understanding along to see from the perspective of God, because Jesus, by the tethering of the Spirit, okay, was bringing them the perspective of the throne. You want the perspective of the throne, not the perspective of the flesh. The perspective of the flesh is corruption and temporal, and is accompanied with death, okay, because that which the law works sin, and the sin works death. So I know, he says, I know that you're Abraham's seed. Okay, I know your genealogy is of Abraham, the flesh and history, but you seek to kill me. Your aspirations desire to remain independent of my record, okay, and you refuse the knowledge of my stewardship and the shelter of my refuge. So the shelter of my presence will depart, and the Romans will prevail and destroy you if you don't accept me. That's what he's saying to them. My stewardship is your refuge. But if you deny me, hey, the Romans will destroy this temple and kill you. Now, we're going to see the same thing happen during the tribulation. Those which reject the stewardship and the refuge, which God is presenting to them at this time, okay, is going to work against them. Okay, when the plagues are being poured out, they will die in their sin. They knew not the time of their visitation. So let's go back to verse 37 here. I know that you're Abraham's seed and that you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. Okay, I speak that which I have seen with my father. Oh, I love that. Okay, I speak that which I have seen with my father. See, and we do the same thing. Okay, that which the Spirit unfolds, the anointing unfolds, okay, the mind of Christ to us. Okay, the anointing unfolds the mind of Christ. Okay, so here he says, I speak that which I have seen with my father. I confirm the word inscribed in the conscience, okay, which is given in my father's bosom. Okay, that which was inscribed. Remember, Jesus is the volume of the book. That's why he's called the Word of God. Jesus is the volume of the book. The volume of the book is written of me to do thy will, O God. Okay, Jesus is called the Word to simplify it. Okay, I am the Word, there's this volume, and the Word, this volume, is life. Jesus is pointing to himself as the volume. He is pointing him to himself as that life. So I speak that which I have seen with my Father in his bosom. And now that I'm come here, as I promised, I'm unfolding these mysteries which are inscribed in your conscience. So deep is calling unto deep. See, from the depths of my Father's conscience, my words are drawing, okay, are drawing these things inscribed in yours, is drawing them to your remembrance. That I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your Father. Says that means that through the knowledge of your own logic, whose perceptions were inscribed in your conscience by Satan. Satan inscribed, the boasting of your own conscience. Okay, but I'm bringing to you a new knowledge, okay, which will bring this deliverance and purify that. Okay, I'll purify these things. I'll scrape the leprosy from the walls of your caverns of your soul. Okay, by my anointing. Okay, the two-edged sword. I'll scrape, okay, the plague from the wall. Okay, the walls of the caverns of your heart. Okay, by the two-edged sword, truth and charity. Truth and charity will do these things. Okay, so I'll restore you. Okay, I'm going to remodel. I'm going to take out and remodel. Okay, so you do that which you have seen with your father. So he's identifying now by contrast. Now, Jesus didn't say that at the very beginning. Okay, he's saying this in conclusion. Okay, in conclusion to their usurping and undermining the stewardship of the Messiah. Okay, so they answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. They're trying to reestablish in this form of repetition, just like you see on Facebook and Twitter. The sinner on Facebook and Twitter, the ungodly and the wicked, always trying to reestablish their first position of ignorance. They want to go always right back to that one point. It's a cycle of death unto death. Okay, you could answer their question, but they come right back to the same question again. You got the answer, but they come right back again to the same question. Okay, and so Jesus, this is what Jesus is addressing right here. Satan loops their logic in order to wear down your resolve. Okay, Satan is a very lively talker. Okay, and he tries to wear down your faith with many questions. Actually, coming back to the same point, he goes through the whole phase of government, truth, and spirit. Okay, he denies the government, saying, "Who are you?" He denies the spirit, which means he says you're the devil. Then he also despises the truth which you speak. So he says, but that's a misinterpretation of the Bible. Then he comes right back to the same point again. Okay, after Satan tries to wear you down through the vessels of wrath. Okay, we're vessels of mercy. And we can see what the vessel of mercy is doing here. Okay, regarding the vessels of wrath. So they all stood amazed at this time and his reply. And they argued, saying again, coming back to the same point, well, Abraham is our father. See, they said these things to shield their conscience, but the anointing upon Jesus, which came upon him and his father agreed to, this is my beloved son whom I'm well pleased. Okay, they answered and said to him, Abraham is our father, but Jesus then replied upon him. But the anointing upon Jesus said this, if you were Abraham's children, being flesh and mindset, okay, you would also invite me to dine with you and to hear my words as Abraham did. When I visited Abraham, he invited me. I sat down with Michael and Gabriel, and we had a meal with him. Okay, we are Abraham's children. You say, if you are Abraham's children, you do the works of Abraham. You will confirm me as Lord, as Abraham did. And his actions, a reflection, were his works of faith. Okay, in other words, he fed my flesh, I fed his spirit. Okay, but now you seek to kill me. A man has told you the truth, which I have heard from God. We'll go right back to the bosom. This did not Abraham when he was in his vision, okay, and neither at the time when he was on earth. This did not Abraham. You do the works of your father. Then he said to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. So let's go back up to verse 40 right here. Okay, but now you seek to kill me. Okay, I see your works. Okay, aren't to feast with me, but rather to ignore me. The man which has told you and has shared with you this knowledge, the knowledge of life. This was to awaken your conscience, which is spoken in my father's bosom. Okay, Abraham was a consenter. Okay, but you protest my plan. Okay, this did not Abraham. You do the works of your father. You protest my plan as did Satan 4,000 years ago. You follow your own record. Okay, just like Satan followed his own record. Okay, they, protesting Jesus' words, said this. Then they said to him, we be not born of fornication, for our faith isn't as the heathens. The idols of the heathen. Okay, we have the temple of the one true religion, the creator of our father Abraham, even as, that's what he said here, even as God. Verse 41, then they said unto Jesus here, we be not born of fornication, we have one father, even God. But Jesus then replied to them. See, now Jesus gave them a contrast to think about. Now Jesus said to them, giving them contrast, that's what he does with us, gives us contrast. If God were your father, then you would love me. If the divine faith was your really parent, if divine faith was your parent, you would embrace me as a brother. Now remember Joseph's brethren. Remember David's brethren. Okay, you rejoice me as a brother in stewardship. Okay, Joseph's brethren rejected his stewardship. Okay, but then at the time appointed, when his lot was fulfilled, they embraced it. Okay, those also David's brethren. Okay, they rejected his stewardship. Okay, but at the time of the fulfillment of the lot, they had to embrace it. Remember Joseph's brethren. Okay, so they were all of one father. Okay, Joseph's brethren being of Israel or Jacob, as David's brethren being of Jesse, they were all of one father. And I am of the divine. I am from the divine loins. I am from the throne of God. As we are, we're born again because we are from the divine loins, which is the throne of the Father. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Okay, neither came I myself, but he sent me. And that's the same thing with us. The time appointed of our being sent within this dimension was determined from our Father. It wasn't determined by us. It was determined by our Father, okay, who sent us into these vessels of flesh, okay, for the purpose of a rebirth. Okay, we were put within a hatchery. Okay, we were put within this egg of dimension, like a hatchery. Okay, only to be nurtured for the purpose of coming forth, not to be a rotten egg. Okay, if the chick dies, it rots inside there. Okay, but if it lives, then it breaks free. Okay, and we also will break free. Okay, that's what he talks about. The truth shall make you free. We break free from the shackles of ignorance. We also break free from the house of darkness, okay, to come into the house of light. Okay, we're breaking free by this nurturement, okay, of grace and truth. So they said to him, we've been at war for fornication. We are of one Father, even God. But Jesus said, if God were your Father, if the divine faith was your true tethering and parent, okay, then you would embrace me as a brother. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Okay, neither came I myself. My presence here is as Joseph in Egypt. Okay, his confession was to save life. And we see that in Genesis 45. But this is what Joseph testified to. And he said this to his brethren to comfort them. He said to them, okay, it was my Father. It was God that sent me here. It wasn't you. Hey, don't blame yourself for this condition, because if I had not come here, okay, you would have been consumed with the people of Canaan. They would have plundered you of everything that you have. The people of Canaan. If you remain in Canaan, the diversity of the tribes living around you, from the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Hittites, they would have plundered everything from you, okay, just for the purpose of their own satisfaction. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Okay, in other words, Jesus saying, verse 33, don't you recall these things of God? Why do you not understand my speech? Can't you see the symbolism here? Well, if you can't see the symbolism, your ears are dull of hearing. Okay, your ears are dull of hearing because you listened from one lecture to another lecture, and you went from one conference to another conference. You heard unprofitable knowledge. The same thing with the false religious system. The false religious system, okay, engorged itself, okay, with conferences, okay, the conferences which they initiated, okay, waxed the ignorant fat, okay, to the point where they became immobilized, unprofitable, and still remained ignorant, okay, and yet in a form of being paralyzed, okay, they're still trying to say they're mobilized. In other words, they're just living a dream. They're not living the reality of the covenant in their priesthood. They're just living a dream through historical text. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you cannot hear my word. Okay, that means you're refusing mine. Refusing my knowledge, you're unprofitable. A man that speaks by the anointing to awaken the sleeping soul. That's what Jesus is doing. A man speaking by the anointing to awaken the sleeping soul. And then Jesus, verse 44, comes to this. You are of your father, the devil. Well, that's what they thought about him. They thought, well, you're of your father, the devil. Now we see this in verse 48. See we not well that you're a Samaritan? You have the devil. Okay. In other words, you're not honoring your heritage. You don't embrace our tradition. Okay, you despise our race by mixing with the Samaritans. There, so Jesus then says here, okay, for this protesting, you're confirming Satan, okay, who shields his guilt by error, okay, and pursuing the signature of the aspiration is a false like and an idol of the heart. This power is your diet. So your father, the devil, and the lust of your father, you will do. Satan broke the tethering of the throne, and by breaking the tethering, he fell into this dimension. See, and he fell away as a dry leaf from his tree. His ambitions are played out in your own actions. Okay, you're using your own record in place of my record. He openly opposed me to shield his ignorance. Satan's logic is long-winded and is full of his passion, and he only confirms this. He confirms this this to his victims, okay, which is a tethering of death. This is iniquity in his face, okay, and his children follow his counsel to preserve their own false light. Okay, my words oppose him and expose him, because Satan is the hypocrite, being true to himself. Now let's go back to verse 44 again. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. Okay, because this is your diet. He was a murderer from the beginning, being untethered from the throne. Okay, he fell here to practice his ambition. And doing this, he sowed his perceptions in the hearts of all those of ignorance, a seducing spirit, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Okay? So he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own. He's a liar, and the father of it. Now let's go for verse 45. Because I tell you the truth, you don't believe me. Okay, knowing this connection, and because I share this with you, this holy knowledge, you refuse to bond with me. My stewardship, as David's, offends you. You have to come under my refuge. Okay, so Joseph's brethren refused his refuge at first because they saw no need for it until they went into Egypt. Okay, David's brethren didn't see his position as a refuge, being the younger of seven. Okay, they didn't see him as a refuge until he slew Goliath. Well, where were his brave brothers? Okay, who had the shield, spear, swords? Where were his brave brothers there? Okay, who were first to point the fingers of accusation against him because Samuel anointed him and not them? Because the Lord said, "This is the one, anoint him." Okay, Samuel spoke that. Samuel spoke in the voice of the Lord to David, and he showed him things to come. All right, verse 45, because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Okay, so knowing this connection, because I shared this with you, this holy knowledge, you're refusing to bond with me. We see the same thing today. That same spirit. We have the same spirit of faith, but they have the same spirit of bondage, those outside of covenant. So which of you convinces me of sin? Now, so Jesus is saying, prove to me my error. Give me proof that I'm in rebellion towards God. The first thing they would say, well, I saw you break the Sabbath day, and I saw you hear that man on the Sabbath day. I saw your disciples going through the fields on the Sabbath day. I saw you doing all these works and breaking the Sabbath, okay, and forgiving a woman taking adultery. What do you think about that, Jesus? Okay, which is you convincing me of sin? Well, what sin am I doing? Okay, that means when the anointing is upon you, okay, it bridges. Okay, it bridges the flesh. The anointing upon you bridges the flesh. You're not subject to the law. Okay, we see that what was fulfilled in Samson. We see that was fulfilled within David. We see that was fulfilled, also in Isaiah. Okay, we see that fulfilled in Jeremiah. We see that fulfilled in Ezekiel. Okay, we see that fulfilled in Hosea. Okay, the manner of revelation which they received, okay, was against the law of Moses. It was against the law, but the anointing bridges the law. Okay, so those of the Spirit are free from the law. Now, if you are not under the anointing, then you are subject to the law. Okay, the law now is your judge. Do you want, if the anointing is your judge, then your vessel's of mercy. If the law is your judge, okay, then your vessel's of wrath. Right? So which of you convinces me of sin? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now, Jesus said that at the very beginning of his ministry, when the angel accompanied him at the time of John's baptism. Okay, so prove to me my error. That's what he's saying. Okay, and my rebellion towards God. If I'm rebelling towards God, prove to me I'm rebelling against God. Okay, if I see the truth, why do you not believe me? Okay, my words are consistent with the Father's character, purpose, and plan, as ours are today, consistent with God's character, purpose, and plan. Okay, if I see the truth, why do you not believe me? Okay, is this yoke too heavy for your faith? Okay, is accepting my stewardship too heavy for your faith? Okay, but they accepted the yoke of the universities of the law. Okay, as the false religious system does today. In the false religious system, they'll pay thousands of dollars. I was really amazed, okay, and rather shocked, you could say, that a person would pay $10,000 a year to go to one of these schools. Okay, $10,000 per student. See, that they would go to one of these church schools, okay, and sit under these pastors, okay, who claim to be stewards of Christ. They're not stewards of Christ, but these people are paying an enormous amount of money. That's a yoke, okay. And this is what Jesus is telling them. Okay, people will pay you enormous amounts of money just to be under your under the stewardship of your rabbis. Okay, so what yoke is it that I'm putting upon you? That you don't accept me. I'm not putting any yoke upon you. Okay, because the knowledge is free, does this offend you? That's what Jesus is telling them. Because my knowledge is free, does this offend you? You mean I have to pay for this? And that's what you do in the false religious system. You have to pay for your degree. Hey, what kind of degree is that? It's better to receive a degree, okay, from the mouth of God Okay, then to receive a piece of paper from the hand of man. Okay, but yet Jesus, being contrast right, giving this contrast here, shows the vanity of one's thinking. Okay, so which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, which is God's character, purpose, and plan, this which is yoke isn't heavy. Okay, why do you not believe me? Verse 47. Now, he that is of God hears God's words, which means he that is born of faith will respond to this grace, which gives life to your soul. But you religious leaders seek the shadows of Satan, the father of lies, and you're the seed of evildoers. Okay, your words reveal him again and again, seeking self-justification to shield your own ignorance and confirming his guilt. Can you imagine that? You confirm Satan's guilt by standing to your aspiration and also standing in your ignorance. So he that is of God hears God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. But they listen to the Torah every day. Okay, every day they go to the rabbinical schools and sit there and open the scroll, okay, and go through the Torah. Okay, so this is hard for them to hear. Okay, what do you mean? I hear the word of God every day. That's what they're saying to Jesus. We read the Torah every day. Okay, we speak of these things every day. Okay, we talk of them when we sit in our house. When we lie down, we rise up. When we take a walk, we always talk about the law. But Jesus is bringing to their attention, you're not of God, because you're not listening to the voice of the anointing. Okay? You're assuming control by the letter, okay, and not the freedom of the anointing. They answer the Jews. Of course, they replied, and he appealed to this harshly. Then answer the Jews said to him, say we not well that you are a Samaritan and have a devil? Okay, so in other words, they're saying to Jesus, your words reflect true to what the Samaritans think of us and of our traditions and Jerusalem. See, they are Belial and so are you. That's what they're saying to Jesus. They are their Belial and so are you. But Jesus then speaking revealed some more things. But demons don't confirm stewardship. Okay, but those that consent, they bow the knee to the power of God, and you refuse. You refuse to affirm my stewardship, which is tethered to God. See, I am not a devil, but I honor my Father. I bow the knee to the tether. I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. Verse 50. Now, remember, we're still reading about little children, obey your parents in the Lord. We're still talking about that. Because here we see a relationship, okay, of those which the spawn of darkness and spawn of light. Okay, Jesus replied, verse 50. I seek not my own. I seek my own glory. That means my presence here on earth isn't for the pleasure of wealth. But when Jesus comes back during the millennial reign, he comes here for his pleasure. I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeks and judges. In other words, he says, but my presence here on earth isn't for my pleasure or wealth, but to be your refuge, to be a refuge in your conscience and to open your eyes so that you can discern the good and abhor that which is evil. For this message, I am emphasizing this now. Verily, verily. I'm emphasizing this now. Verily, verily. As were the days of the judges and times of the judges and times of the kings and prophets, so it stands today. The stewardship still stands today. What I am saying, that's what Jesus is saying 2,000 years ago, and this is what we're saying now, 2,000 years in the future. Same thing. Get your sacrifices ready. Verily, verily, I say unto you, which means this is what I'm emphasizing now. Jesus is showing the connection between the times of the judges to the times of his presence in this dimension. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. In other words, if a man embraces and bonds with me, being your refuge and stewardship, he shall behold the Father's face and not Satan's. If a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. He will not see Satan's face. Then said the Jews to him again these things. Catching Jesus' words, they sought again to argue their logic with him. Now we know that you have a devil. Not see death? That's what they're saying. Not see death? You said here, never see death, but you mean not see death? This is the words that they caught that Jesus said. Not see death? Now we know. Now we have proof that Belial speaks in you under demonic influence and accuses us of error. Now we know you have a devil. Abraham's dead. Remember stewardship. The prophets are dead. Moses and all those that confirm him are dead. And you're teaching us these things. And if a man keep my saying, he should never taste of death. That is, if a man confirms your stewardship and you as a judge, then he should never see the grave. Okay. But now, of course, remember Enoch and Elijah. Okay. They worked with the anointing and he escaped death. We also work with anointing and we shall escape death. Verse 53. Okay. Are you greater than our father Abraham? Is your stewardship to parent another people? Okay. As our origin of divine hope? Okay. Are you greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? Again, they're going back to stewards. Okay. Which is dead. And the prophets being the judges are dead. To which of these now? To which of these spirits? Okay. Of these great men of God are now speaking in you, yet you claim they honor you. Okay. That you are a father of many nations. Remember, I talk about Abraham and the prophets. So this is where they're going back right to the origin. So you're saying that you're going to birth a new people, a new nation, that you're the refuge of them? And Jesus did do that. Okay, that's why we're called born again. So are you greater than our father Abraham? Yes, he is. Which is dead. That which is the flesh, which is restricted. And the prophets, being judges, are dead, which is restrictive. So they're saying, who do you think you are? Okay, who do you make yourself? But now Jesus replied in kind, because the anointing is going to set order for them. If I seek to add value to my personal agenda, then my pursuit is vain and of this world. If I honor myself, mine is nothing. The witness of my Father sustains my stewardship and this divine tradition of judges. Okay, it is my Father that honors me, okay, of whom you say he is your God, of whom you claim that he is your God or is your power. But you resist me, who speaks of his divine tether, the loins of his throne. Yet you have not known him. When he says verse 55, we're moving on here. Yet you have not known him. The Father remains veiled to your heart, though you honor the Torah. Okay, yet you have not known him. But I know him, because I speak by this power for your shield and refuge. But I know him. And if I should say and claim I don't know his will, and that I don't know him, or to please your rank, then indeed I stand in Satan's shadow, and undecided and doubtful as yourself. And if I should say I know him not, I should be a liar like to you. But I know him, because it's by the Spirit I reflect this witness, and I keep his commandments, as I am his face. But I know him, and I keep his saying. Okay? And by a vision now, in the seventh heaven, your father Abraham, he goes right back to the source, doesn't he? The origin. Your father Abraham, he saw me. He saw me here 2,000 years ago, fulfilling this time. And I again saw Abraham rejoicing in a dream at this time when this was confirmed in your ears to awaken you. This was to awaken your conscience. So your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, which you see in the illustration here on Facebook. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. But the Jews replied and said to him, you are yet 50 years old. How have you seen Abraham? That's 2,000 years ago. And that reminds me of the things which the Lord revealed to me. Okay, in the early 80s and the 90s. During that time, I saw Jesus. Okay, I saw Enoch. Okay, I saw also the apostles John and Peter, and also many angels. Okay, though these things were 2,000 years ago, okay, yet the witness, okay, witnessing the anointing that's with them still stands today in confirmation. But Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, as was then, as we're saying, verily, verily, as was then, so it is today, what I instruct you in this manner of language. Before Abraham was, I am, which means I am God who created him. I created him. I created the witness. I created this plan. Okay. At this point in time there, they were moved within him. They began picking up stones. They took up stones to cast at him. They began to throw stones at him as his refuge and hope. But Jesus then slipped out of the crowd. But Jesus hid himself. And he exited Solomon's temple, or reconstructed temple, after the exile. But Jesus hid himself and went out by the temple, and going through the midst of them, and so passed by, as God opened the Red Sea for the Jews through Moses' stewardship. Jesus escaped their envy and their anger, as God opened a path for him to walk through, but they couldn't get to him. Okay, let's go back to Ephesians, and let's close there. I know there's a lot of things here in the book of John. I love reading through the book of John there. All right, and back in Ephesians chapter 6, Okay, again, Jesus, or not Jesus, again, the Apostle Paul, okay, shows us this joining, your fathers. Okay, provoke not your children to wrath. Okay, which has to do with, as concerning the challenging of the signature. The signature for offspring into contrary goals. Okay, because, which will soon frustrates the wrath and harsh discipline. So he says here, but bringing up in a nurture, tie the word nurture there in verse 4. This is the disciplining of the spirit. Nurture and admonition of the Lord. Okay, so he says, the nurturing of the spirit, this leads to the study of good habits of faith. This will give also insight in facing the challenges of life. The anointing will assist, whether father, mother, or child. It assists, okay, each age group, whatever age group it is. Okay, and regarding the divine perception, we saw it in the life of Samuel, and when he was young, okay, how the Lord spoke to him. We see it in the life of Melchizedek. Okay, when he was born, we see it in the life of Moses. Okay, as an infant, when he was born, okay, we see it also in the life of Noah, when he was born. The anointing upon them, okay, is what gives, okay, the substance of this understanding, and when the substance of the understanding is present, okay, also your hope is clear.
All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, you have to begin to seek God. You're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset. And you're going to have to seek Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay, if you want to come in covenant with God. And well, thank you for listening today. Continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek Him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Anderseck here speaking. Have a good day, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.